All right, praise God, watching radio. We are back, ready, real, and right. And we're just believing by faith that the Lord is a conqueror. He's a king.
Amen.
He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, first, last, the Alpha, and the Omega. He's just the beginning and the end, folks. You can forget about, you know, these false anointings, false teachings, false garbage manifesting in churchianity today. We got to get back to the roots and basics of Christianity. And this cake-baked mammon gospel that's floating around, that's just giggling and jumping around and everybody clapping away, is just abomination. The gospel is, preaching the cross, which represents denying self. That's right. That's right. We got David Eales on. You there, David?
Yes, sir. I'm with you.
Praise God. You're on the air. David Eales, Bible prophetic teacher. Wait a minute. Prophetic Bible teacher?
Close enough.
I have, like, speech dyslexia or something, right? But your website is americaslastdays.com, right?
Yes, it is.
And I want to encourage everybody out there, whether you're listening on MP3, your iPod, or you're listening on WWCR, you're listening live right now. The key to this is that, David Eales, I respect as a true teacher of prophetic utterances in Scripture. And he's a very important instrument in the body of Christ, because he's able to convey a rhema and revelation to me many times that has helped me build my faith. Help me go forward in this walk. And that's really what it's all about, people. So that's why we love David and his teachings, and we just welcome you, David. And as usual, you have the half hour.
All right. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Praise God.
Well, I heard you've been talking about trusting the Lord, and I tell you, where we're going, it's the only thing that'll work.
Amen.
The Lord's power is made perfect in our weakness, but the problem is we've got it all figured out. We really don't need Him. That's what we think.
Yeah.
We act like that. We act like God just left and went to heaven and left it up to us. Well, that's sad. Because His power is still made perfect in our weakness. We've got to give up our self efforts to save ourselves all the time. The Lord puts us in hard places, like He did the Israelis. He took them out of Egypt, and He kept putting them in these hard places where they couldn't save themselves. They had to turn to Him and cry out to Him and put their trust in Him. And He was glad to do it, because that's the reason He brought them out there in the wilderness in the first place. And now, here we are, folks.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Everything that we've trusted in the world is crumbling. Every god of Egypt is being judged exactly as before. And you know what? Where are we going to be left? We're going to be left. It's just going to be us and the Lord. And He's going to have to be our Savior in all things. And you know what? The great news is He's already saved us. He's already delivered us.
Amen.
He's already healed us. He's already delivered us from sin. He's delivered us out of the power of darkness. He's made us free from sin. He's already done all these things at the cross. And now, He just expects us to believe that. What happens to you when you believe all these past tense promises of the Lord? That Colossians 1 and 13, He's delivered us out of the power of darkness, past tense. And Galatians 2 and 20, that I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. And Hebrews 10 and 14, by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
And 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Notice, it's all past tense, folks. He's already done it, so that you can't add anything to it. You can just agree with it.
Amen.
And rest in Him and watch Him do the work. Now, I'm not bragging, but I'm a little bit of an expert in this, because the Lord taught me this revelation back about 35 years ago. And I learned I didn't have to do anything to get healed. All I had to do was believe what the Bible actually says. It says, by His stripes you were healed.
Amen.
Wow. You mean there's so many people out there struggling, trying to convince God to heal them. You know where you're going, folks? You're going to need healing. The Bible says in Matthew 8:16, it says, when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with the word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. Notice it's all past tense now. Took, bare, and he healed all that were sick. Amen. And you can follow through the Gospels and you'll discover that that's still the truth. He healed everybody that came to him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, some people think, well, sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. No, sometimes we believe and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we cease from our own works to try to bring it to pass because God's power is made perfect in our weakness, ceasing from our works, entering into his rest. And sometimes we won't do that. We won't stop working in order to prove that we believe what the Bible says.
Mm.
You know, if you believe that you were healed, why are you trying to get healed? Let me ask you that. You out there that are listening to me right now, you're struggling so hard. All of your efforts to try to get healed by God. And you know what the Bible says? You were healed. He bare it away. Mm. You know? Well, if he's already done that, and you're struggling and you're striving and you're seeking and you're paying big money, running after all the things of the world to try to get healed, you're proving you don't believe the Word of God. You're proving it. Don't say you believe Jesus and you're running after trying to get healed when the Bible says you were healed. You see, listen, I'm going to tell you, I've been totally successful in receiving healing for my body in 35 years. Okay? I raised 5 kids. They were, and by the grace of God, I don't take any credit, by the grace of God, when I prayed over them, God healed every one of them. They didn't all get healed overnight, but they all got healed. And I want to tell you, God is just as sure in this healing as he is in salvation. Did you notice he always mixed healing with salvation? Because he didn't just save your soul, he saved all of you, you know? Notice 1 Peter 2:24, who in his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. How come he always talks about the saving of the body along with the saving of the soul? Or Psalm 103:3, you know, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. He keeps mixing these two together. Some people say, well, they don't go together. Well, that's false. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace have you been. That's what it says, folks, in the original. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of your works. Not of your works. But why? Because by grace have you been saved. Now that's the word sozo. And it's used all through the Bible in some places you wouldn't even think it's used. I'm talking about in the New Testament. You know, we know that it's talking about soul salvation. You can go to Luke 7:50 there, where it's talking about the woman who anointed Jesus' feet, and she came to him, and he said to her in verse 48, he said, thy sins are forgiven. And then down in verse 50, he says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. That's the word, sozo, saved. By grace have you been saved. You were saved at the cross, folks. Turn around and look behind you. That's where you were saved. You don't have to ask. You don't have to beg Jesus to save. You just go to him by faith. You see, you repent, and you believe what the gospel says, and you get saved. It's quite automatic, okay? And yet, this same word, saved, is used for deliverance. It's used for healing. It's used for instance, in 8:48, here's the word again. Let me read this to you. Now, this is talking about the woman with the issue of blood, and it says, Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. The word made thee whole is the same word sozo. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. By grace have you been saved. You see, you were healed when you were saved because your body was saved too, you see. Not the flesh, not the old man that seeks to be gratified by the body, but your body was healed at the cross, folks. And if you go back a little bit to verse 36 in this same chapter, it's used again of deliverance this time. Verse 35 says, and they went out to see what had come to pass, and when they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons were gone out, sitting clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how he that was possessed with demons was made whole. That's the same word, sozo. Deliverance is also involved in salvation. By grace have you been saved. Notice it was all done. Matter of fact, Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray about in Mark 11:24. What did he say? Believe you received. The word is past tense. Believe you received it and you shall have it. Why? Because it happened behind you. You don't even have to talk God into it. He already is convinced. He sent Jesus to bear away your sins and to bear away your infirmities and to bear your curse. Galatians 3:13. Did you know that? The curse Amen. Is what we're talking about here, folks. Not just the healing of your body. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Well, you know what? Jesus bore the curse. Read Deuteronomy 28. Read about the curse there, folks. Every sickness is there. The ones that aren't there, it says, and God will put that upon you too. Meaning all of the sicknesses, you see. He was talking about bringing the curse upon the people who rebelled against his word and didn't keep his word. Now, Jesus bore that curse. And he proved this by healing every one that came to him by faith. He still heals every one that comes to him by faith. If I didn't believe this, I would have never gone where I've gone in my past, folks. Because I believe Jesus heals every time. Now, if you believe the apostate gospel, that sometimes he heals and sometimes he don't, and you don't never know when he will and when he won't, then you can never have faith. Your faith has to be founded in the Word of God. And Mark 11:24 says, all things you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Notice it's past tense, folks. And I've always believed this, and this really helped me to stand firm when the devil did all his tricks to try to talk me out of healing. And I've had many, many miracles. I had a very miraculous life because I learned this lesson. This is how you walk in the Spirit. You don't walk by sight. You walk by what thus saith the Lord. Now, God didn't say he was going to heal you. He said he healed you. See, so it's a moot point when you start to search out and find out if God will heal you. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. But you need to find out that he already has healed you. I remember a woman over in Louisiana one time came to me. And she was telling me about her experience with seeking healing. And she'd gone all over the country and she just was seeking out a healing. She had two very large inoperable tumors. And she gave me the list. You know, I went to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so, you know, big name preachers around the country that are known for healing. And she said, David, I just don't understand why I haven't been healed. And I told her, I says, well, you just told me why you haven't been healed. You do not believe the gospel. You have yet to believe the gospel. Believing that you can get healed when you go to someone is not the gospel. Believing that Jesus healed you at the cross is the gospel. It's the good news that he's already accomplished your healing. He's already accomplished your deliverance from sin. He's already accomplished your deliverance from the curse. He's already accomplished accomplished your deliverance from the powers of darkness, Colossians 1 and 13. It's all accomplished at the cross. That's the really good news. You don't have to do it. He's done it. It's the difference between the law and grace. He has done it. So this woman tells me this. Her name was Priscilla. I said, Priscilla, you told me why you haven't believed the gospel. I said, any one of those people could have prayed over you. If you believed the gospel, you would receive this. I says, let me explain to you. You're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking down the road. You got hope that God will heal you. But hope is not what saves you. It's grace through faith that saves you. Now, faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Notice that's, again, past tense. I said, that's how faith works. I said, you're walking by sight. You say you're not healed because you're walking by sight. But you're not walking by sight in what this book says. That's the whole thing. You're not walking by faith. I says, turn around and look behind you. Now, that's where you were healed. Back there at the cross 2,000 years ago. That's where you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. And I carried on with a few more verses to help her to see that this is all past tense. And she was waiting to see something. And because she never saw anything, she never believed she was healing. So once I explained this to her, it was just like a light bulb went on in her head. I could see her eyes brighten up, and it was just like, aha, the revelation sunk in. The first time she ever heard the gospel. So I said, Priscilla, I'm going to pray for you one more time. This time, I want you to accept your healing. She says, okay. You know, so I rebuked those demons. I believed it was a spirit of infirmity, a cancer, and I commanded it to leave her in the name of Jesus Christ, because a spirit of infirmity, you need not only a deliverance, but you need a healing, right? So I commanded that demons to come out of her in the name of Jesus, and I told her just to accept it by faith. And she said, well, I felt it go. She said, I felt it leave me, just as we prayed. You know, I said, well, this is the first time you ever believed the gospel. I said, all that other stuff was hope. You know, hope looks into the future. Hope is a firm expectation of something to come, you see. But faith is believing you have received. It is the very substance of the thing hoped for while there's no evidence. That's what the Bible says, while there's no evidence. Faith is believing you have something only on the foundation that the Bible says you have it, not on the foundation that you see it. See, only spiritual people can walk by faith. It is the works of the kingdom, you see. Only the people of the kingdom can do this. For that reason, Jesus said, it's not right to cast children's bread to the dogs, you know. The people of the world don't have the benefits of the kingdom because they haven't entered into the kingdom, you see. Now, I'm not saying God can't heal them. I'm just saying they have no guarantee of healing. See, we've got a guarantee of healing. We are the children. It's our bread, you see, that the Lord gives unto us, you see. He said, it's not right to cast the children's bread to the dogs. Of course, this Syrophoenician woman was very repentant, and she had come to the Lord, and she'd come to him by faith, which, of course, is what makes you a part of the kingdom now, you see. So, anyway, this lady got healed instantly when I prayed for her. And, of course, she was just jumping up and down. I just told her the very simple fact. I said, this is the first time you ever believed.
Amen.
All that other stuff wasn't belief. Your belief has to be in the Word of God. It can't be in what you see, you see. And now this is miraculous, and I'm going to tell you what. It'll give you healing every time. I'm not saying it will give it to you immediately, because sometimes you go through a trial of your faith. But if you stay steadfast and you cast down all these imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, because the devil knows how to get you back walking by sight, you see. He knows how to do that. He's been doing this for thousands of years. He tricks a lot of people. But once you understand the good news of the gospel, that it's already accomplished, your healing's already accomplished. Now, you can walk in stubborn, willful disobedience, and you can walk in unbelief, and you won't get healed. Okay? But willful disobedience, Hebrews 10:26 says, if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. In other words, if you walk in rebellion, that's why you're sick. And that's why you're going to stay sick. Repent of your sins. Read the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not saying you have to be perfect. None of those Jews that came to Jesus were perfect. But they had a covenant. They had a blood covenant. And for that reason, he healed them. They did not deserve it, and neither do you. But he healed them. And he will heal you. And he will do it consistently, just as consistently as he will forgive your sins. Who forgiveth our iniquities and healeth all our diseases. He forgives you. If you confess your sin, he will forgive you. You see? And we have a blood covering because we're ignorant of a lot of things that are contrary to God. And that blood covering gives us a right relationship with God as we're walking towards him, as we're repenting, as we're reading the Word of God, discovering more things that please him, and we begin to walk in those, you see. And so we can have a perfect relationship with God. And one thing that we have to do, the righteous shall live from, it literally says, from faith. Your life comes from faith. And faith is believing what this book says about you. And if you believe that he took away your sins and that by his stripes you were healed, then you can walk in health and holiness. Do you, for instance, do you believe the gospel that we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory? You see, you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. That's what Paul said. And you were crucified with Christ. Don't stop running around calling yourself a sinner. If you keep calling yourself a sinner, you know what you're going to do? You're going to sin. Because Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. If you have faith to be a sinner, you will always be a sinner. But if you have faith that he took, quote, away your sins. Look, the Lamb of God, John said, that taketh away the sins of the world. He took away your sins. And he healed your body. You just need to accept it. Now, since I've learned this, I've received healing consistently. Let me tell you another good example of this. One of our first examples of healing was my wife. When we were coming to the Lord, my wife and I were big into the things of the world, and we were riding dirt bikes up in Mississippi. And it was very hilly territory, and she was new on dirt bikes. And it was a foolish thing for me to do to bring her there. But anyway, we come over the top of this hill, and she got excited looking down the hill. And she, I think, probably was mashing on the foot peg instead of the brake. Because she just barreled down this hill and slammed right into the woods. I says, oh, Lord, you know. I went down there, and she had bounced off a few trees. You know, and I picked her up. I got her out of there. And at that time, I didn't know God as healer. I took her to the hospital. You know, she'd banged up her kidneys. They were scheduling. They were giving her all kind of drugs to clear up some kind of an infection, and they were going to do an operation on her in a month. They didn't want to do it immediately because they wanted to get rid of the infection. But she had banged up her kidneys. And so during this time, we remembered that we'd read in the Bible that God healed you. And I even asked a friend of mine, I says, hey, does anybody believe this anymore? You know? I mean, we were reading our Bible at the time, but we were new at it, you know? Anybody believe this anymore? Oh, yeah, so-and-so, that church down the road, they believe that, you know? I says, oh, okay. So we just decided, well, we'll go check this out. Well, anyway, they prayed over her. We went home, and about a week later, I mean, we'd looked at all the verses, and my wife says to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what's wrong. We saw what your Bible said. We saw what the Word said. We went over there. We had them pray over us, and I'm still not healed. And the Lord spoke to her loud and clear. Now, we were very ignorant. We knew nothing about faith, you understand? We were just baby Christians, you know? And the Lord spoke to her, and he said to her, he said, if you believe that I have healed you, why are you taking all that medicine? Oh, That's going to bother some of you people out there, right? But listen to me. I'm not putting you under any law here. I want to explain something to you that God explained to us. He said, if you believe that I have healed you, why are you taking that medicine? It was like that light bulb went on in her head. She ran in the bathroom and she grabbed that medicine and flushed it right there. And you know what happened? When she flushed that toilet, she got healed. The power of God went from her feet up to her head and down to her feet, and she was healed. She was healed. You know why? Because she acted on her faith. You have to act. Faith without works is dead. You have to act on your faith. If you believe it, prove it. Prove it with your mouth. Prove it with what you say. Prove it with your feet. Don't say you believe and then run around proving to everybody you don't believe. But running and looking for healing there and here and all the methods of the world. God doesn't use the methods of the world. Did you know that? Let me explain something to you. Let me explain something to you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 29. I'm going to read verse 28. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised did God choose, yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. Notice, he chose the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are, so that no flesh would glory before God. The things that are not. Well, first of all, what's he doing away with? You know, the things that are. What things that are need to be done away with? Well, you know, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil. And he cast out devils, and he did all these good things to deliver people from all kinds of curses, didn't he? Well, that's the things that are. The things that are is the curse. It is sickness. It's demonic oppression or possession. It is all these things around us that bring us under Deuteronomy 28, okay, the curse, okay? Now, Jesus already bore that. Galatians 3 and 13 says, he bore your curse. And so you don't have it anymore. Just remember that. The Bible says he bore it. You don't have it anymore. So how do we use the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are? The things that are not are what? Well, the things that are not are all these promises that we've just looked at. Where it says, believe you have received. Where it says, by his stripes you were healed. Where it says, he bore your sins. Those are things that when you read them, you see that they are not. Well, how does he take the things that are not and bring to naught the things that are? The curse, sin, death, all these things. Well, it's very simple. Romans 4 and 17 says, God who calleth the things that be not as though they were. Calleth the things that be not. Notice, Jesus didn't use methods. He didn't use methods of man. They call him the great physician, but you know what? He never practiced medicine, not one time did he practice medicine. He used the things that are not. He used the spoken word. He commanded people to be healed. He stuck his hand on people to be healed. He never used methods. He never needed them. His disciples never did either. You know what? The power of God is made perfect in our weakness. It's all of our efforts, all of our self-salvation. It's all of salvation by works. Notice we found out it was salvation, you see. Sozo is just the verb. Soteria is the noun, and that's salvation. Saved and salvation are the same root, you see. Salvation is not by our works, whether it's for your body, whether it's for your soul, whether it's for your circumstances. Because Sozo was always used when they were in the boat and they cried out to the Lord, save, Lord, we perish. They needed salvation in their circumstances, didn't they? See, salvation covers that too. And it's already accomplished. It's already accomplished. You know what? When my wife flush that toilet, she was healed. The Lord said to her, if you believe that I've healed you, why are you still using all that medicine? Well, in other words, she was trying to get healed. She wasn't accepting that she was healed. She was by her own methods, by her own money. Did you know that salvation's by grace? What does that mean? It's unmerited, it's unearned, right? Well, what are you doing with your money going out there trying to earn God's healing? Salvation, it's the same word. Salvation is used for deliverance. Salvation is used for healing. It's used for deliverance. All of this came in the same package, and it's free. It is free. God is incensed that people would want to buy his salvation. Now, I know when you're ignorant, God's merciful toward you, and A lot of people are ignorant about this. He's very merciful. But I'm telling you the truth that works consistently. God already saved you. He already delivered you. He already healed you. Are we running out of time, Rich?
Yeah, we're at the top of the hour watching radio, getting ready to sign off. And we're just blessing the Lord for that word. Listen, very real, trusting in the Lord for healing, trusting in the Lord for deliverance. Hey, David touched on a very important message that we're going to have to really rely on the Lord more than ever in the times ahead. Right, Dave?
Yes, sir.
So, praise the Lord. Dave, I'll get you off the air. Hold on 1 second. Watch Mario saying farewell. See you next week. David's website, americaslastdays.com. Take care, folks.